everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I'm excited to have my good friend Kathy Gordon here with me again. You guys saw her video a few months ago with New Birth Company, so we're going to take a different angle today. I just ran a few weeks ago. I didn't realize Kathy was running for office with our recent election, and so that fascinated me because very few midwives are hesitant to get involved in politics, and I wanted to have kind of her story and why she did this to help inspire other midwives. So thank you, Kathy, for joining me today.
You bet.
I'm thinking about joining office. Like, was it a spur of the moment? Was it kind of a contemplation for years? I'd love the backdrop.
You know, for the last, let me do the math. 20 years, I have been advocating for change in very small components. And it primarily comes with what we do every day as midwives. We listen to our patients and we go, huh. And we hear the barriers and we hear the concerns they have. And we go, okay, what can I do to make a change there? The very first thing I did was actually as a family nurse practitioner, I was seeing patients in a clinic I'd started for the underserved and uninsured in our area, because I realized that was, you know, for being in the greater Kansas City metropolitan area, our county had more underserved people than any other county in our state. So I'm like, holy cow. And how did I know that? Because I worked in the ER. I saw them. I'm like, let's see if we can make a difference. Well, one of the things I heard was, I had a lot of Medicare clients and they needed their handicap placards for their cars. Well, we didn't have the ability to sign for those as a nurse practitioner. And so that was my first thing. I went up, you know, I called up some people that were nurses that seemed to be very progressive. And I said, how do I do this? And one person said, let me meet you up there. Let's go to the Department of Transportation and ask. And that's what we did. We went to the state house and we started asking questions. And guess what? It happened. So one little thing changed. We just made words change on handicap placards that nurse practitioners could sign for them. Very simple. That's what started that was the initial flame for me to say, you know, keep listening to women, keep listening to families. And when there are barriers, we need to just advocate for them. We do that all the time. We advocate as midwives for incredible births, and we will advocate for them to have services that they can't already get or that they can change so that we can help make their lives better. That's what started it for me. And then, you know, fast forward 20 years, owning some companies, starting the nonprofit clinic, and then also the New Birth Company, a for-profit business model. We constantly go, we got to make this better. And we are seeing so many people come to us saying, I want to have my baby with you. Do you take my insurance? Or I don't have insurance. What can we do to make it better for them? And what we've learned, Leslie, is there are so many barriers. There are so many barriers. So for since 2014, I'd regularly go to the state house again and advocate for change. One of the major changes in 2010, the Center for Medicare Services said all midwives should be paid at the same level as physicians. You know, today they still are paid at 75% of the rate. Yeah. Still today, that's 10 years later. In 2014, I decided to take time in my practice that once a month, I would at least go up there, they would see my face, and I would talk to the legislators and say, we need to be paid better. This is wrong. You know, the education of what is a midwife, oh my gosh. That was, they didn't, you know, they're thinking that, you know, we were unlicensed, we were not board certified, that we were granny midwives. I'm like, I don't care. Granny midwives need to be paid better. You know, so those things are what initiated it. So I would go to the state house. I would talk to them. I did testimony every year on the importance of midwifery, on the importance of change. And bills would get started. They would die. Bills would get started. They would die. Then one legislator decided to make his own bill. It actually passed, but it was horrible. So that's what got me going. You know what? It's time to be an insider because they don't get it. And it's not that they don't get it totally. It's that you have to be constantly in their face, bugging them. And so I was like, I'm going to run for office. I'm going to see if I can be an insider. That's what started it. So.
Well, I heard it was a close run, so that's super exciting. And you said maybe you're thinking about doing it again, but yeah, I've learned wholeheartedly if you can talk and you can have regular meetings with your representative, but you're just that's that one little interaction. If you're not repeatedly like on the sidelines voting and having networking casual conversations, it's a different ball game.
It's totally different. And you know, there was a couple of reasons that I was linked in with our Kansas Chamber, which is out of our state house or in the same area. And so small bit, they help businesses flourish in our state, the Kansas Chamber. And they said, you know what, we're going to take you on and mentor you through this process. So I was like, so grateful for that. And one of the things I learned about losing a very close race, I lost a very close race, is in my area, I was on the Republican Party. Most of the Republicans did not win. So I'm in a very liberal area. And they said, you know, the president's debate hurt me when he was kind of rude to the running mate, the first debate in October. He goes, that made people mad. And I saw that. They didn't need to tell me that. Yeah. I saw that when I met with people on a door-to-door basis and just heard their issues and talked to them about running. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is, one thing I learned is I really targeted nurses in our area. You know, nurses are an incredible workforce. They're one of the largest professional workforces in the United States. So every state, nurses have incredible power. But do you realize they don't vote?
I did not know that. Wow.
Well, and I have to say, you know, I remember a time thinking when I had to work 7A to 7P, how hard it was to get to the polls, because there was a time when you just couldn't go vote and come back to work if you happened to be working on voting day. But I didn't realize until I get into the grassroots, not many vote. And so one of the most important things is I need, if I'm going to run again, if you're going to run for office, we need the nurses, we need the midwives, we need the birth centers to go vote.
Yeah.
Because if they're not going to vote, that's part of the loss. It's about getting your name out there. And that's one way. I mean, I've delivered babies in my area, but these people go, I'm sick of all the politics. I'm not voting. I'm like, you need to vote. We know each other. I need you to vote. Yeah. And they're like, I'm done. I'm, you know, so the attitude of our country right now is very concerning. We had record voting this year, people getting out and voting, but they're voting mad. And that's not the way we want to do it. We want to vote with a clear conscience, a clear mind, and understanding. And so there's some little drama in there for you.
No, I think it's great. To be honest, this was my first year of voting. I mean, I grew up in a family where politics weren't involved, and I was like, that mindset of one little person doesn't make a difference, but it's the snowball effect. And I'm like, I can't voice publicly my opinions if I'm not going to try to vote and make a position and a difference. And so, it was interesting because like you had said, there's so many people who are like, oh, I'm just going to throw my towel. I'm like, we as midwives, we want to empower our community. It doesn't matter just with catching a baby. We want to empower them to stand up and advocate for themselves. And it doesn't have to do with just healthcare. It has to do with their whole mind, body, and soul. So that's why I think it's interesting, midwifery mindset about politics, because it's all how you look at it.
And it's not about affiliation of party, like Democrat, Libertarian, unaffiliated, Republican. It's not that at all. It's about a very large profession getting recognized as value. And our profession as midwives is incredible. We change and make difference every life we touch. You know, every woman will tell you about their birth. If you just sit down, they will all tell you. And we have the ability to be a part of that in a life-changing event in a positive way. And I, you know, one of the big things for me is our birth numbers have gone horribly wrong. So when I gave birth to my first baby, which I'll tell you, okay, so it was actually 40 years ago. I'm not that old, but At the young age of 21, I had my first baby. It was the perfect timing. I had no interventions. I went into labor. I gave birth. At that time, and this isn't the dark ages, there were no fetal monitors that were put on you. Yeah, they had a Doppler. I thought it was really cool. You know, I thought that was innovative. They had electric thermometers. But when I look at the data to then and the data now, it's like 500% higher I have a chance of dying in childbirth compared to 1980 to 2020. That's wrong. And what has happened is it's the decline of midwifery. We've taken out the granny midwives in Mississippi and Louisiana and the southern states. We've removed the primary midwives, the CPMs, the licensed midwifery. There is no licensing in my state for midwifery unless you're a nurse midwife. And then we've made the restrictions so stinking hard that we can't even practice well. If we would give midwifery back to the families and promote it, then we would have better outcomes. It is a direct correlation of the removal of midwifery and the increase of maternal mortality. So another reason why I said, I got to get in there. We got to make change. We need to be a voice for families for safe birth outcomes and bringing birth back to the family. It's, you know, reading the Bible, you know, the big incidents where Pharaoh was saying all the little boys were going to get killed. And the midwife stood up with the government and said, you know what, government, we're not going to do that. It's wrong. We're not going to kill those babies. And they just said things like, oh, those Hebrew women, they just deliver really quick and those babies all lived, right? Yes, that's why we go into politics. That's why we say, I'm going to be an insider. I'm not going to be an outsider. I'm going to go in and make sure we protect midwifery, make sure we protect families and give birth back.
Well, I think it's interesting when you were talking about the generational, like the moms had a much safer statistic of poor outcomes than their children do. Where is that grassroots of the 60s, 70s of women's rights and pushing for all this advocacy? We're so excited that we have a VP that's a woman and a minority, but we aren't looking at the basics of our women's outcomes of a very fragile time in normal birth and advocating for it. Like, I'm confused by our generational shift of why we're not standing up for our basic innate rights to birth our babies how we want to, like they used to.
It's a very good discussion. It would be a great discussion to have with several. And I would say, look at all the different midwifery. Yeah, get a panel where you have somebody that's educational only, somebody that's has a hospital-based practice only, a birth center-based practice, a freestanding community birth center, and then a home birth. Because have that panel, and I will tell you this, that the marketing of ACOG and the physicians in the hospital, and plus the hospital marketing to bring in those families, if, you know, still to date, the number one admission to every hospital is a newborn. Because sometimes there's more than one. The number two admission is the mother. So they're not, it's not COVID. It's not cardiac disease. It's not gallbladder surgery. It's birth. And if we would take that and look at that marketing that the hospitals have done to bring your babies here, because they know that if they have a good outcome here and they're happy, whatever, because they had their baby, they're going to come back for that gallbladder surgery or that cardiac or whatever. The problem is that even in some of the university settings for nurse midwifery, they're not teaching community-based birth. They're teaching the medical model. So our model has, our whole paradigm of midwifery has changed. It's not in the home anymore. It's not out of hospital. The paradigm is in the hospital. So until we change that paradigm, that's where our focus. We need to give birth back to midwives, and we need midwives to practice as midwives, not physician extenders. Yeah. And we need to stop inductions unless it's medically indicated. Don't plan your birth, expect your birth.
Well, I think especially with birth centers and home births across the country, the midwives are very, very busy now. Like, I talk to midwives that have been doing this for 30, 40 years, and they're like, well, it only took a pandemic for us to get, like, the norm. And I'm like, you know, if we look at a light at the end of the tunnel and a positive lining to everything, it's the other direction. I'm trying to help support burnout. The women were already busy. They weren't taking more ladies after 12 weeks, and now they're pushing their limits of safety and opportunities. And it is. And like getting clinical sites for nurse midwives have been a lot harder. And even just finding CPM clinical sites, because midwives are so busy that they can't have the opportunity to teach. And so yeah, it's hit a whole new level with business consultation of how do we support the midwives with this drastic demand that people are starting to realize, okay, there are options. And maybe when COVID's in the ventilation systems, we could probably not have our normal healthy babies here.
You know, and COVID has like you've already said, it's been a hidden blessing in the aspect of multiple things. Birth is one of them. People are now afraid to go to the hospital because COVID's everywhere. Smart. Use the hospital wisely. If you're sick, go to the hospital. The ERs are empty. I know that there's a bunch of media showing you how crazy they are, but they aren't. Only with COVID patients, and they're triaging them separately. They're not full of other things. They're not full of finger cuts. They're not full of stubbed toes. They're not full of that stuff because people are now using it truly with what the emergency word means. They're not using it for family practice type things. You know, it's a COVID has been a blessing to bring birth back. Yes, the home birth midwives in our area are full. They are full, which I'm like, yay.
I know.
The birth center is busy. Yay. And you know, the other thing that's going back, and this was something that happened, like, I think in the 80s, where they had a, they called the DRGs, diagnostic related group, but they would say codeine on your insurance plans, you had to leave the hospital within 24 hours, right? They weren't allowing moms to stay longer. Well, that's the model that we have. You know, you go home and then we come and see you. And then we see you again. And instead of you staying in one place, go back to your family and let me come and visit you at home where we know you'll sleep better. Yeah. The hospitals with COVID are getting the patients out. I had a COVID patient that sadly had a C-section. I say sadly because I felt like the staff wanted to hurry up and get her delivered. So they called a C-section when I wasn't present, my own story, and I was very unhappy. But my point on this is she went home within 24 hours. I lost it. So you know what I did is I covered her. I said, you know what? We're going to send our staff. We're going to come visit you at your home. Yeah. Because it's not the COVID I'm afraid of. It's I just want to make sure she's okay. She just had major surgery.
Yeah, there's a difference between a normal vaginal delivery and a major abdominal surgery. I mean, that's...
Yes.
One extreme to the other.
Huge. But it's like they're wanting to get those out of there, but the other people that have a normal vaginal birth, they can stay 2 days. No, that doesn't make sense. If you have COVID, get you out of the hospital. So it's an interesting dynamic that we face with the pandemic. And I call it, it's all good. We're getting people back at home. We're getting families back together. And midwifery is raising to the call, which is excellent. You know, we've had multiple calls from our partnering hospitals on, do you have our patients? Because they're not coming here. We're laughing. We're like, well, we have a couple, but no, we don't have all your patients. So it's been a great paradigm shift. It's been good. I'm interested to see what the end numbers are at the end of 2020 on deliveries. You know, if it's gone up a few percents with midwifery, which I think it probably has got to. Unless
In my curiosity, is it going to be a wave or is this going to be a massive paradigm shift because of the testimonials, that massive wave of these positive birth experience coming out? I'm curious to see the next level. Is it going to shift everybody that these voices are going to be muffled and we'll go back to normal? Or are these women kind of the next generation of the 70s birthright advocates? So I'm excited to see.
Totally. You know, if at least here I'm seeing the Facebook and I'm seeing the blogs and I hope people are shouting it out. I'm hoping that they're doing that. We need to just, this is our time to take that marketing that took, got babies into hospitals, take that same idea and get them back out and get them, get midwifery back. I know our data is going to show better outcomes. Yeah. I know it.
Well, and talking about creativity and positive things, like this has been a hard year, no doubt about it, but it's taking this drive we have to advocate and being passionate. Like I started this YouTube channel 6 months ago and I've gotten to meet amazing midwives all over the country. I wouldn't have been incentivized to do before, you know? So it's taking this challenge you have and networking and connecting and putting people together when you, like that was my vow. It's like, okay, if we're going to do social distancing and we can't see each other, I'm going to connect with women and midwives on the next level that I've never done before because I'm a fighter, you know? And so I think it's amazing taking this knowledge. And now your knowledge is going to be on the internet and it's going to be on the World Wide Web that anybody can watch and inspire them. So I appreciate it, Kathy.
And well, I hope more midwives will take the challenge and be courageous and run for office. We need our profession, and I'm talking midwives across the span. I'm not talking nurse midwives. I'm talking any type of midwifery. We need the voice of midwifery to just penetrate our politicians and our government and be an insider in there. It is tough to do and it's very humiliating at times, but if we would mobilize and work together, we are so powerful. We are so powerful.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is just having the sisterhood of each other and using each other's strengths. I mean, I think there's been so much divide in our country, and I think midwives, this is our opportunity to strengthen and figure out how we can grow from each other's uniquenesses, not having them be differences that one's right or wrong. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to collaborate at all settings of midwifery and not think, well, you're a better midwife because you're in the hospital. You're a better midwife because you had this educational background. We're all midwives, reinforcing that.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And the more we can stick together and promote each other, keep doing what you're doing because you're getting the word out. That's what it's going to take.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Kathy. Any little other words of wisdom or inspiration? Any exciting projects you're working on in the next few months?
I'm always up to something.
You are. I know you are.
Well, who knows? Who knows? It's yet to be figured out.
Okay, perfect. We'll leave that for the teaser for the next video. So thank you so much for your time, Kathy.
All right.
Have a great day.
We'll see you later. Stay warm. Be safe.
Bye.
Bye.